Today we discuss the Grammys, the real truth about training, and what's good on TV. All that and more on this episode of The Hybrid Life. Let's go!
This is what it is, okay? I said empty your mind. Be formless, shapeless, like water. Now you put water into a cup, it becomes the cup. You put water into a bottle, it becomes the bottle. You put it in a teapot, it becomes the teapot. Now water can flow, or it can crash. Be water, my friend.
What's up, mofos? Welcome to the pilot episode of The Hybrid Life. I am Kevin Bay. You can find us at Hybrid Fit Club on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. HybridFitClub.com, or you can hit me up personally at Kevin Bay HFC. The Grammys were Sunday. That, of course, was Bruno Mars, and we will get to him because he killed it, but I recorded the Grammys, fortunately, because it's a 3.5 hour show, and when you record it, you can fast forward through all the BS, and I cut it down to about an hour, under an hour. So that was something I highly recommend you do on any award show. Record it, watch it later. Adele obviously was the big winner. She did screw up one of her tribute to George Michael, which I thought they could have picked a better song. He has a lot of good ballads, and they picked that one, so I don't know why. Maybe that was her choice, but she messed it up and started over, and she can do that because she's Adele. James Corden did a good job, I thought. That's a tough job. You got to host an award show that's live like that, so I thought he did a good job. I wasn't really... It was pretty underwhelming with The Weeknd and Tribe Called Quest. I like both of them. I like a lot of their stuff. I just didn't think either of those performances were great. Disappointed in the Gaga Metallica duet, if you want to call it. Mostly because Hetfield's mic didn't work. And I thought they had the potential of being something really, really good. If anybody caught that performance and saw what Hetfield did after... In the back of the stage, he chucked his guitar and his headset. He was pissed. And I just don't get how you can mess up something technical difficulty-wise, the microphones, when they do a ton of rehearsal, they do sound check. These guys get paid a ton of work behind the, or a ton of money behind the scenes. I have friends in that business, and it's just nuts to think that something on the biggest night in music could go wrong for such a big name like that. But somebody's getting fired. Big fail, big fail. Anyway, explain to me, please, the hype of Beyoncé. I just don't get that. I don't get the enormous amount of ass-kissing that's done with her. I mean, I seem to be in the minority here, but I just don't get it. I can't stand watching her. I can't stand listening to her. That performance, as soon as I saw her come up, I fast-forwarded it. I think if I watched it, I would have been embarrassed for myself to watch it. It was ridiculously pretentious. Like, is she portraying herself as a queen or something? I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I cannot stand watching her. My daughter loves her. I know way more people love her than don't love her. I'm definitely, like I said, in the minority. I just really don't get it at all. I don't really love country, but I'm starting to like it more. My daughter started listening to it, and I guess it's called pop country, contemporary country I like a little bit more. I can't stand old school country like Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson, stuff like that. But regular country nowadays is a little bit more mainstream, and there was that girl that won the award for Best New Song, Maren Morris. She was fantastic. I thought she stole the show with the duet with Alicia Keys, so I need to check her out more. Gary Clark Jr. slayed it. I mean, I love blues and jazz. There's a lot of great places where I come from in Chicago that you can go see that on a regular basis. If that dude was in the 60s, he would be more well-known than he is right now. I mean, obviously people know who Gary Clark Jr. is, that like that kind of music, but he would be bigger of a national name, I think, if it wasn't this time. Beyonce won a song. So Beyonce won an award, and I had an idea. The name of the song, I think, was Lemonade. She won an award for that. And I thought it would have been cool if the Grammys had Ice-T as the presenter for that. And then he could have done his Lemonade commercial, which is my favorite commercial on TV. Lemonade! Read the sign! Delicious! Anyway, I thought the Bee Gees tribute was cool. I was never really a fan of Demi Lovato, and she came out and talked. This is a fitness podcast. Her transformation over the last 3 years, she looked completely different, to say the least. But I thought the girl after her, Tori Kelly, was really, really good. I'd never heard of her, and maybe it's because I'm an old guy, but I thought she killed it with the guitar and singing. Evidently, she's in that animated movie Sing, so I definitely need to check her stuff out. For performance of the night, I thought the Prince tribute was ridiculous. And when I heard Morris Day and the Time start their song, I was like, no way. This is, dude, I mean, this brings me back to junior high, freshman year of high school. Anyone under 37 probably didn't know or have any idea who Morris Day and the Time was. They probably never saw Purple Rain until Prince passed. Some of them might have watched it, but if you haven't seen that movie, go check it out. I personally love that movie. So I really loved what Morris Day and the Time did. I thought Bruno Mars had the performance of the night. I thought that his individual performance earlier was good, but when he came up and did Prince, Let's Go Crazy, that was fantastic. I mean, I feel like Bruno Mars is the millennials version of Prince. I mean, he's miniature, which Prince was. He was crazy talented. He can sing. He could dance. His entertainment value live is really good. I had no idea he could play the guitar, but he absolutely nailed those solos at the end of the song. So all in all, that dude can really get out there and do it. And I plan on trying to check him out whenever I can. Speaking of Grammys, I actually know a Grammy nominee, Jared Reddick from the band Bowling for Soup. They're actually still out touring and putting out new stuff, so check out their albums. But he has a podcast with his buddy Rich called Jared Goes to the Movies, and I love it. It's hilarious. I love movies, and we'll get into movies and television more on this podcast. But they pick up out a movie that they like, and they go through the whole movie and talk about it. It's not a movie review type of podcast. It's more of a movie talk about podcast, and is frigging hilarious. It has nothing to do with movie knowledge or script or anything like that. It basically just goes through the timeline of the movie and talk about it. It is hilarious. So check it out. Let me know what you think. All right, let's get into training from start to finish, okay? And what I'll start with what my philosophy, my mentality is towards fitness and nutrition. It should be important. It should be a priority. It should be something that you take seriously, but it definitely should not be number one in your life. I mean, come on, dude. You have family, you have friends, you have hobbies, maybe you like to travel. You need to be a well-balanced person. If your day or attitude is ruined or changes because you missed a workout or two or three, or you've eaten something badly, and or you think something is way off of your diet, then you maybe have an issue there. And quite honestly, this podcast, when we talk about fitness and nutrition, this might not be for you because we're not that kind of a podcast. We training and fitness isn't the end all be all. It doesn't make who we are. It just helps us have a better life. And that's what I want to try to convey to all my members, all the hybriders, all the people at the gym, all the people all over the world and country that we live in that are my members and my clients. So I try to emphasize it's important to be healthy, but it isn't important for health to be your life. It just needs to be part of your life to make it better. So that's that. I'll get off my high horse with that stuff. Like I said, be balanced. And that being said, training and motivation will be 100 times easier if the goals, or if you have goals, or something that you need to be training for, whether it's a marathon or an adventure race, if you want to deadlift 2 times your body weight, be a better athlete. You can be really specific or you can be broad. You know, if you just want to be able to play at home with the kids more often, or, you know, anything you want to be better at. You know, I play amateur baseball. We travel around the country and play in tournaments, and I travel with my friends. It's a fairly high level amount of baseball. And a lot of guys that are up there in age don't warm up, don't work out, and they show up and play, and then they get hurt. And you're not getting paid. So if you don't want to get hurt doing things that's going to affect your job or your life, you need to train. Now, getting into training itself, our general philosophy is progressive overload. That's what everybody that is a member or that is one of my clients, that's what they do. It's progressive overload is basically always getting stronger the next time you're doing that specific lift. So, for example, if you have to do back squats 5 sets of 8 and you're doing them for 135, the next time you do back squats, we want to do 5 sets of 8 at 140 or 150. You want to always try and be at least 1 pound, 2 pounds stronger than the previous time you worked that exercise and that rep range. So rep ranges will change the weight you use. If you're in sets of 8 and you're doing 135, well, at sets of 4, you're going to probably be doing a lot more weight than sets of 8. So that's why it's also important to track your lifts. Write stuff down. Write down the weight, the exercise, how many sets, how many reps, how you felt. Write that down. We have a great program where all my people, all my clients can write down everything that they do underneath each exercise, and I get to see that in live time. So it's really a great tool to be able to write down and see what you've been doing past for each exercise that you do. As far as programming goes, I'd say new people, people that are just starting training, it's really good to do a 3-day-a-week lifting program with 2 days of conditioning. And a sample day of a 3-day program for us would be more of like a full body 3 days. So we're going to have a push, 2 pulls, a lower, and some conditioning all at the same time. So a sample day as far as exercises, you would say maybe a dumbbell bench press, 5 sets of 4 to 8 reps with an inverted row on either rings under a bar or like a TRX system. 4 sets of 8 to 10 reps, one arm row, 4 sets of 4 to 8 reps. And all of those exercises are going to be done with a 30 to 90 second rest time in between each set. Then from there, we would go into what I call metabolic conditioning, which is 4 rounds. You do all these exercises in a row, and you don't rest in between exercises. You could take rests at the end of a round, but make them very small because this is when we're trying to get our heart rate up and also get some strength at the same time. So we would do 4 rounds, 16 reverse lunges with or without weight, 10 Pawlow presses, which if you don't know what that is, I'll put it in the show notes, a 30-second farmer carry, and 5 to 8 reps of a goblet squat. Again, I'll put that in the show notes if you don't know what that is. Take your time when you're lifting, but don't take your time in between lifts. So we want to try and get our heart rate up while we're doing this stuff. And you want to go through an entire round without resting and then take maybe a short one at the end. As far as your 2 days of conditioning goes, I prefer sprinting or sled work. But if you don't have access to sprinting outside because of weather or time, or sled work because of the gym that you're in, I do a thing called deadmill sprints, which are ridiculously hard. And again, I will put that in the show notes so you know what those are. Make sure you have a plan when you go to the gym. Don't just go and wing it. And by plan, I mean what we were just talking about. Have something that you're going to do when you get there. Not go and get there and then say, oh, dude, I'm going to do chest and tries today, bro. No, that you're setting yourself up for failure. That shit will not work long term. You're just going to train for aesthetics. I'm gonna say something here also. Part of our philosophies of training, like, yes, looking good is important to some people. I think if you train right and you eat right and your goals are for better health, feeling better, moving better, being better at something, then you will look good as a result of that. Looking good shouldn't be your number one goal as far as training goes. Again, if that is, then this probably isn't going to be the podcast for you because we don't train for aesthetics here. I can coach people for aesthetics. I can give them a plan that over the period of time, if they follow it, their aesthetic goals will be reached, but that isn't what a number one priority of 99% of my athletes or members are. And quite frankly, when you're putting a plan together, I honestly don't think you should be doing it yourself. I don't do it for myself. I actually hire somebody. I found a guy that is an expert in movement and corrective exercise. And I've had back issues since I was in my mid-20s because of football. And I've dealt with it over the past 15 years. I've just learned to deal with the low annoyance and pain tolerance that it gives me. But since I've met this guy and I pay him to be my coach, he has given me things that I've never done before that have corrected my back issues, and now I feel 100 times better. I move a lot better. I sleep better. Everything is better, and it's because I paid somebody to help me out. Now you might say, don't you know how to do programming? Yes, I do, but hiring somebody outside of my scope not only helps me get in better shape and fix my issues, but now I can learn from somebody too. I think a big problem with our fitness industry is a lot of trainers think they know everything and they're not willing to keep learning. This job that we do is a constant learning curve. And the minute you think you know everything, you have done your clients and yourself, quite frankly, a humongous disservice. Which brings me to how to hire a coach. I mean, you need to invest in yourself. You take someone like James Harrison, outside linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers. The guy spends $350,000 a year plus on taking care of himself, whether it's a chef, traveling massage person, training. Now, look, I'm not telling you to spend that kind of money, but he has that disposable income. You should take a percentage of what you make and invest it back into yourself. It's going to make life better. It's going to increase quality of life. you'll probably be more productive if you're in better shape. It's a fact that if you are working out and you're in better shape, you have more endorphins, you feel better, you sleep better, everything changes. I know that sounds crazy, but it is the absolute truth. I've been doing this for over 20 years. I know it to be true. So when you are investing in yourself and you're trying to find a coach, the key is to find a good one. There's a lot of options. In my opinion, I think you want to stay away from corporate gyms, trainers at corporate gyms. And not that it's their fault, but they're pressured to sell you packages. Their income is based on sales. It's not based on whether or not you're getting in shape. And I think it's a red flag if they only care about how many sessions you're going to buy. So if they're trying to get you into a package with limitations or stipulations, for instance, you pay by the month and you have to come 3 days a week or your sessions expire, that's a good option. If you buy 25 sessions and you come once a week for 25 weeks, that is not a good option. Who the fuck is going to get in shape training once a week for 25 weeks with no other accountability the other 6 days? In my opinion, again, I also think that you should look for somebody that gives you an all-inclusive type of deal where you're paying a monthly fee, you can see them as much as you want, they will give you consulting outside of the gym, something to keep you accountable, and you're paying a monthly fee and that's all it is. You're not paying by session. That way of training is really going by the wayside. The fitness professionals that I know and respect are gearing things more towards an all-inclusive type thing where there's more of a trainer-client relationship than just coming in for the hour, counting your reps, leaving the gym, and then you're left to do everything else on your own. That's, again, setting yourself up for failure, I think, not to mention extremely expensive when guys are charging $75, $100, $125 an hour. It's not worth it to me, in my opinion. Let's talk about certifications. Certifications are important. By all means, the person that you're paying to look after you in your fitness journey should know what they're doing, but it is not the end-all be-all. I know plenty of people that have a lot of certifications that can't train anybody, and I know a lot of people with one certification that are some of the best trainers I know. So do your research on that. Like, I'll give you an example. I hired a coach to train for me in the gym when I went on vacation. Now, this guy had massive credentials. He was a strength and conditioning coach for a Major League Baseball team. He's trained hundreds of athletes at once as part of a team and trained at my gym for a week, all my members. Well, I got back. I asked my members what they thought, and every single one of them, to a T, said, you know, obviously he knew what he was talking about, but if he was somebody that I had to hire or was going to have to be teaching me every day, I would not be able to do it because personality-wise, it didn't work out. And that makes a difference. The person that you're training doesn't really care if you have this certification and that certification. They care that you care about them, that you are involved in their progress, that you are staying engaged with them, that you ask questions, and that you do know what you're doing. They don't care about technical things, about how you move, or this or that or the other thing. They only care if they get along with you and that you provide the necessary information and training and coaching that they are looking for. With the development of Instagram, there's a lot of online coaching out there. I think for the most part, it's very, very bad and watered down. There's a lot of trainers taking advantage of the 10, 20, 100, 500,000 followers that they have on their social media, and they are doing a lot of pictures of themselves shirtless or in a bikini or modeling, quote-unquote modeling pictures, and trying to develop a large following, which is great, but that doesn't mean they know how to train people. And to be honest with you, when you pay those people $25 a month, $50 a month, they're doing nothing but giving you a cookie cutter program that they give everybody. Now, let's think about that. If I have two women, one is 5'10", 160 pounds, and I have another one that's 5'4", 120, why the fuck would I give them the exact same program on lifting and the exact same quote-unquote meal plan that has a menu of what to eat every day? It cannot be that way. Each person is individual, and you need to find an online program that has some sort of questionnaire or some sort of evaluation to where the person coaching you is going to get to know you. They're going to know some of your habits. They're going to know what your experience is with training, maybe what your daily food intake is, how comfortable you are with lifting weights, and then develop a plan based on all of that stuff, your height, your weight, your age, male or female, activity at work. All this stuff should come into effect with a plan that's being made. And when you hire these Instagram trainers, that's what you're getting for the most part. And that's really not beneficial for anybody that's involved. You want me to pay you and won't even take the time to get to know me?
Get the fuck out of here.
If you're interested in an online program, you can email me at kevinbay@hybridfitclub.com. You can go to hybridfitclub.com and fill out one of our information forms. Any questions you have, any information you want, let me know, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. I think that's going to be it for training today. Let's get into a little bit of TV. Yep, I love TV, and I know some people think that's weird or, I don't know, melt your brain. I don't think that's true. I think television right now is as good as it's ever been. The stories are ridiculous. The writing is ridiculous. The acting is ridiculous. They have mainstream actors that are now doing regular television shows on Hulu and Netflix and HBO and Showtime. It's ridiculous. Have I said that already? Have I said ridiculous enough? You guys need to bear with me a little bit. This is my first try and attempt at a podcast on my first episode. So feel free to leave comments, feedback, whatever you want. I really don't care. I just want to get some traction going on this. So The Walking Dead came back this Sunday, and I thought it was a great episode. I mean, the ending was good. I like where they're going with it. I didn't like the beginning of the season. It was a little bit boring. I thought Negan is annoying as hell, but I understand that he is really close to the character in the comic book. I can't get into details because I hate spoilers. I hate when people give spoilers. So I'm not going to talk in detail about the episode. I thought the ending was cool. I actually forgot about a couple things that the episode reminded me of because of the long layoff between the breaks. So I loved The Walking Dead. That was great. And it's one of my favorite shows of all time. Some new shows that are out, APB, 24, Taboo. I like all three of them. APB, I watched the second episode. It's in Chicago, so it makes me a little bit biased towards it, but it also is a little hokey. I don't know how long I'll stick with it. I'm doing it right now. The new 24 is awesome. I watched the first 24 through two seasons, and I quit after two seasons. I don't know. Maybe I don't love Kiefer Sutherland, so that could have been it, but it just was too much. But the new 24, I really like it a lot. The guy that plays Dr. Dre in Straight Outta Compton is the lead actor. I don't know his name, but it's good. Taboo, the second delve into television for Tom Hardy after he did Peaky Blinders, which, by the way, I love. If you haven't watched Peaky Blinders on Netflix, it's a great show. Check it out. Taboo is out there. And like all new shows, the first season can get a little boring because of the backstory that they have to go into. So I'm going to definitely stick this out and see what happens. A lot of shows that happens with, I mean, if you've never watched Game of Thrones and you watch the first season, a lot of people would want to quit that because it can get boring with all the backstory. But obviously Game of Thrones is literally one of the three best shows in the history of television. So same with Breaking Bad. First season, even part of the second season, was a little bit long, drawn out, boring. Season 4 and 5 were the best seasons of any television show ever. So yeah, those are some of the new stuff that's coming out. Sneaky Pete and Goliath on Amazon. Friggin' solid shows. Giovanni Ribisi is Sneaky Pete. And Billy Bob Thornton is Goliath. Friggin' solid shows. Check those out. I can't wait for Game of Thrones to start back up, if you haven't gotten that from what I just said previously. There's a show on Netflix that's a BBC show or a Canadian show. It's called Frontier. Jason Momoa is the star of it, the guy that plays the new Aquaman and was Khaleesi's husband in Game of Thrones. He didn't talk. He just stood around and killed people and grunted. But he's good. He's good in Frontier. I mean, I don't know about Game of Thrones. Chicks seem to love him, okay? He's a big dude, long hair, fucking beard. He's pretty jacked. So chicks seem to love him. Anyway, This Is Us isn't fairly new. It's through its first mid-season break, and I love that show. I loved Parenthood. It was something that made me think of my childhood for some reason. We have a big family, and I guess maybe that is something that's similar. That show, the way that family was very similar to how our family was growing up. Craig T. Nelson, for some reason, makes me think of my dad. So that is probably why I liked it. This Is Us is a very good show. If you like tearjerkers, emotional dramas, it's definitely your cup of tea. You should check that out. Also, if you want to comment, let me know some of the shows that you like, some of the shows I should check out. If I haven't, chances are I have, but maybe I haven't. I love getting new shows. I have a buddy named Pugs that has his own podcast. He's a pretty big radio guy, and he always gives me TV shows to watch, and I've never not liked one of them that he sent me. I try to do the same with him. It's hard for us to catch each other, but anytime someone has a TV recommendation, I am more than willing to at least check it out. So, movies as well. I love movies, and we will get into that later on, but for now, you know, leave me some TV recommendations, and let's get some chatter going about that as well. With that, it will conclude our first episode of The Hybrid Life. Thank you for listening. If you like the podcast, share it. Please take 2 seconds and give us a 5-star review. Leave a comment if you can. You can find us at Hybrid Fit Club on IG, Twitter, Facebook, and Snapchat. You can comment or message us, Kevin Bay at Hybrid Fit Club. And if there's a question or topic you want us to answer or talk about, please let us know. And as always, whether you think you can or you think you can't, my friend, you are right.
Toodaloo, motherfucker. Hey, you hear?